I would challenge anybody that's listening this, show me a vibrant community that has a poor school system. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, show me somebody that's got a vibrant school system and a poor community, or vice versa. We go hand in hand. We are the hub. Whether you like it or not, public school systems are the lifeline in most rural communities.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Jeff Bird. Jeff is the superintendent at Dalhart Independent School District in Dalhart, Texas. Jeff, thank you for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Tell us, we talked a little bit about before we hit the record button, but you guys got some really amazing things going on, and I'd love to hear about them.
I think one of the biggest things that we're doing is I've got one non-negotiable as a superintendent. We've created in public education communications with parents where the only time parents hear from us is when things are bad. And I require the teachers to make one phone call and or face-to-face visit with a parent a week, brag on their student, let them know that we care about them, you know, that we're changing the climate and culture. I require the principals and administrators to make one positive parent contact a day for 5 a week, and then I make a minimum of 12 a week.
Nice.
You know, parents seem to be more receptive when there is something wrong, when they know that we've already called and bragged on their student.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm 54 years old. I appreciate it when somebody calls my dad and tells him I've grown up and not as ornery as I used to be, per se. I do think that helped get our foot in the door in our community.
Mm-hmm.
We had a really good school system before I got here. I think their biggest downfall is they failed to share their story.
Mm-hmm.
So, We're not big enough to have a PR department or a PR staff, but part of my role, and we've subcontracted with the service center, is I see the good things that are taking place in our hallways and our classrooms daily. I'm not going to argue with people that speak ill will of a district. Obviously, not everybody loves us.
Nice.
No different than any other school district, but we're not going to argue or fight on social media. We're going to outpost them with positive. And the parents that we've built relationships with are supporting those posts. So really proud of the positive parent contact. My first year here, like everybody, Dalhart, Texas is 90 miles north of Amarillo in the Texas Panhandle. I'm closer to 6 state capitals than I am Austin, Texas.
Wow.
So I love it here. It's an amazing place, but it's like a best kept secret. And convincing people from Central South Texas to move here, you know, they confuse us with Alaska.
Oh, okay.
We spent a lot of effort and energy recruiting and trying to bring people here that really weren't comfortable coming, and they'd be here a year or two, or they'd stay 2 or 3 years and get certified and they'd leave. So we created our own Grow Your Own program. Eventually that will lead into high school seniors, hopefully. But we recruited, you know, I've been a superintendent 16 years. I've been in public education 33. Oftentimes I'll walk the hallway and some of the brightest teachers in the school district are paraprofessionals. Just for whatever reason, life didn't allow them the opportunity to get a college degree and to become a certified teacher. So through our district of innovation, we have a teacher assistant, a teacher associate, and a certified teacher. A teacher assistant does not have a college degree, but it's working on it, and they make between $33,000 and $34,000 a year. A teacher associate has a degree, but is not certified. They make around $38,000 a year, and then our certified teachers start out about $46,000, so we kind of dangle a carrot along the way.
Right.
We've partnered with Capturing Kids Hearts, who's partnered with Teachworthy and is partnered with Iowa Wesleyan University. And Iowa Wesleyan's who we partnered with because most colleges won't let somebody transfer more than 60 hours. Iowa Wesleyan will let you transfer 90.
Mm.
They'll also give them 30 hours credit that they can get with us while they're on the job.
Nice.
So we can expedite them getting a bachelor's degree. When they get their certification, they get their college degree, they move into the Teachworthy program and they become a certified teacher. So 3 to 4 years max is what that takes. So how we budget for that, we didn't have to spend any more money. I've got $46,000 budgeted for each teaching position. If I'm only paying that person $33,000 as a teacher assistant, I've got $13,000 a year that I can pay on their tuition.
Nice.
If they're a teacher associate and they have a degree, I've got well over $8,000 a year that I can pay for their teaching certification. So our expectation is if we pay for your school and your certification, that you're going to stay here for at least 5 years after you get a degree.
I wondered. I was like, I'm sure there's a length of time for sure. Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
Well, it's not a perfect system, but we're recruiting people that are already here, that want to be here, that care about our kids. It's worked a lot better. And I don't know how to say this without being offensive. It's certainly not my intent, but I'm a born and raised West Texas panhandle guy. I'm from southern, a little farther southern than the panhandle, but we had the same battle. You get west of I-35 and communities are just drying up. And even the smaller communities, they have a healthy upper class and obviously a heavily populated lower class. In my research, in my opinion, communities that are vibrant have a very strong middle class.
Middle class. Yeah, you have to have a middle class. You have to. I mean, that's just the way that societies work. If you don't have a strong middle class, you're in trouble. Your country is in trouble. And you can see that in study after study after study of countries that have failed because, you know, 99% of the income is owned by 1% of the population. And then you don't have anybody to work for you.
Yes.
And yeah, absolutely. I agree. 1,000%.
There's two key issues that communities like Dalhart face. One, they have middle class positions, but they can't recruit people into those. Or they're not vibrant financially and there's simply no middle class positions for people to move for.
Mm-hmm.
So we are a very vibrant community. We're ag industrial based, and it's important for us. You know, you take my children, for example. I've got a 27-year-old that's a vet. He can't come back to Dalhart and make the same salary that I make. I've got a 25-year-old that's in cybersecurity. He can't come back to Dalhart and make the same living he can make in Amarillo.
Mm-hmm.
So those kids are not coming back. I would say 25 to 35% of our kids leave after an associate's degree, get a degree, and they just don't come home. But we've got kids that want to be here that don't go to school, but we've got to provide resources and help them develop a trade where they can stay here and make a good living and become the leaders of our community.
So how do you do that?
Well, so a couple of years ago, when I went to the National Rural Education Association Conference, there was a South Texas Innovation Zone that presented, and I got their information. I came back, I contacted Region 16, I invited Dumas, Dalhart, Channing, Texline, Hartley, and Stratford, and asked them to go with us. Not everybody could go. We went and toured their facility, and I know that you're very familiar at Lighthouse with this, but a lot of school districts our size can't afford a speech path, an OT, a PT, a special ed director, 15 diagnosticians, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So small school districts will create a co-op or a consortium where we all pay our fair share based on enrollment, and we employ a co-op of special ed. Well, if we can do that for special ed, why can't we do that for CTE development? And they did that in South Texas. I think between Freer and Falfurrias, it's like 90 miles, and those kids are going both ways twice a day between those schools. And what I'll use as an example is we've got two certified HVAC people in town. Both are my age or older. We've got one certified plumber that is my age or older. And we've got two electric companies, both my age or older. When those folks stop doing that, we're going to have to use people 90 miles away to come and provide those services. Very big ag-based industry. There's a big need for mechanics, diesel mechanics. There's a big need for welders. We have our own hospital. We've got several nursing facilities, or nursing home facilities. So in our CTE partnership, which is called the Northern Panhandle Innovation Zone, we started off small. Dumas may come back and help next year and be a part of it. Hartley and Stratford did not join, but Texline and Channing did. So there's three school districts. We're the hub because we're centrally located. And we've got kids coming in to our diesel mechanic program, our mechanic program. And this all has to be funded through grants. Mm-hmm. And there has to be high need positions. You can't just magically create a form. It's got to be a high need area.
Gotcha.
We've got CNA nursing, which we hope turns into an LVN certification and a phlebotomy certification, where those kids can graduate from our program, go to school in the summer after they graduate, get their LVN, go to a hospital, go to a nursing program, work while they get their RN, and they stay here and they're happy.
Yeah.
We've got construction businesses. We have a Western Equipment. We have a Yellow Cat House. I don't want to forget anybody, but there's a high need. We have a dairy industry. We have the second largest cheese plant in the world. Wow. Obviously, if anybody knows anything about the Northern Panhandle of Texas, it's cattle country. So we have dairies that support and produce milk for the cheese plant. And then we have beef cattle and feedlots everywhere. So high need for welders and drivers. Currently, we started small, and the three programs that we're currently supporting are mechanics, diesel mechanics, welding, and our CNA program. We hope that all three of those expand. We're in partnership with our hospital because that's going to help our hospital have nursing candidates as well as the nursing homes. We're in partnerships with the Chevrolet and Ford House and Dodge House so that maybe they can create mechanics. All of the John Deere, the Western Equipment, International, those folks are all very interested in the diesel mechanics. And we've talked, we're hoping through our District of Innovation that we can hire a master electrician, a plumber, and an HVAC person to come in and teach one or two periods on a block schedule, where we can generate our own electricians, plumbers, and HVAC folks here. So, it's strengthening in our school district. It's helping our neighbors. We're recruiting good people that can have middle-class, high-paying jobs that can stay here and keep our community vibrant.
Occupational therapy shouldn't be one more thing on your plate. It should be a solution. Lighthouse Therapy offers school-based occupational therapy services that actually work for you and your staff. Our OTs have an average of 16 years of experience in schools, and they support everything from handwriting to fine motor to sensory integration. And you can choose from three different service models, whether it be virtual, hybrid, or in-person. It's OT that fits your workflow without the chaos. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter-together to learn more. Yeah, that's fantastic. I love it. You're looking to the future for the kids, and that is so important because you talked about being 54. I'm 58 in a few days. My birthday's on the 12th of October, and it's the 8th of October right now. I'm like, when did that happen? But it's exactly what schools need to be doing. We need to be looking at how are we bringing up the next generation? And so much of this of learning as you go and getting them ready for a career. It's a theme that I've seen over and over again, and it's just a critical piece of where education needs to go.
There's two thoughts that went into that. And one, we're not reinventing the wheel. We've copycatted and cheated what's working in other places. But
yeah, that's okay.
The two thoughts that I would bring up that are important to us are, I would challenge anybody that's listening to this, show me a vibrant community that has a poor school system. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, show me somebody that's got a vibrant school system and a poor community, or vice versa. We go hand in hand. We are the hub, whether you like it or not. Public school systems are the lifeline in most rural communities. My passion is rural education. The other thought is I do believe wholeheartedly it's my responsibility as a superintendent to provide an education that will prepare any student that walks in our doors to go to school and get a bachelor's, an associate's, a master's, or even a doctor. We should be laying that foundation. But at the end of the day, we can't ignore the fact that not every child's going to go to college. And we've created this mindset that kids are failures if they don't attend college. And that's absolutely ludicrous. I've got former students of mine that went to a 6-month welding program or a 6-month mechanic program that make more money a year than I do, and they don't have a bachelor's or a master's degree debt.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
And they can start work at an earlier age. They can have obtained less debt, and they can make a comfortable living. So we've got to validate that.
Yeah.
And so obviously I'm a huge proponent of public education and what that means. You know, this is not why you call me, and this is not why we probably what we should be discussing on the podcast, but I believe that every parent has the right, and they know their child better than anybody else. If your child is going to do better in a small school system, by all means, you take them and you put them in a small school system. If they can live in the middle like a Dalhart, they need to go find a Dalhart and enroll their kids there. If they need a urbanized 6A school with thousands and thousands of opportunities, then that's where you need to take them. I have issues with homeschool from a socialization standpoint, but I see parents that do a really good job and kids successful in that setting. And I certainly think you can get a wonderful education at a private school. My argument for that is twofold. Number one, I've got no ill will with the private schools and homeschoolers getting funding for their child's education, but they need to follow the same rules that I'm having to follow.
Yeah. I agree with you there. That's for sure.
And I want to point out again, my second piece of that is if public school systems and communities aren't successful, it's going to have a very negative impact on their community. We go
well, and honestly, if you have a good school system and you have parents that are incredibly busy, but they at least are trying, or a single mom that is doing everything that she can to put food on the table and make sure that her kids, she's fighting for her kids to go to college and to break out of a cycle of poverty. And if you don't have a school that's fighting for those kids as well alongside her, even though she might not make every single parent-teacher meeting, then those kids have a much better chance of being successful because you guys and what you're doing is supporting what she's trying desperately to do for those kids. And there's so many, and we know it's an epidemic of single moms. Dads are absent in this country. It is a huge problem, and we know that. And having solid education, solid public schools. I agree with you. I homeschooled my kids for 8 years, but they went to high school and they went to elementary school for part of that time. You know, I just did what I knew was best for my kids at that time of their lives. And when I saw that that wasn't working anymore, we changed what we're doing. But every single one of my kids is different. So, you know, having the opportunity to do the things that I wanted to do for my kids was key to each one of their success. And, you know, so I totally 100% agree with what you're doing and what you're saying, because there's not everybody had the opportunity that I had either. You know, it's based on, honestly, I'm a Christian. God puts in front of you what you need. Fight for it. Fight for your kids. Fight for what you need for your kids, because there are amazing. And that's Brighter Together is all about that. This podcast is all about putting out there the amazing programs and the amazing people like yourself, Jeff, that every single day are fighting for our kids, because you're getting a beat down in the media and it needs to stop.
Well, you know, I think my family is a perfect example of what you're talking about. My oldest son was an A student, but he stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning, made himself sick, not going to score the highest on any aptitude test, but he was an A student. He's graduated from vet school. He's capable, but he had to work extremely hard for that. He was an average Joe academically, and he went to a small rural school, and he was prepared to graduate from Texas Tech and Texas Tech's vet school. My middle son, extremely gifted academically, and he went to a small school when he was younger, went to Vernon, where I was at previous to coming here, and the school he came from was a small class A school that was an A-plus school district, but he went to Vernon, and they struggled on the A through F rating, but he got as good an education. He was challenged for the first time in his educational career in Vernon, so I know they were providing a great education for him. He was challenged. And it prepared him to go and get a degree from West Texas A&M and have a good position at Pantex. My youngest son is intellectually disabled, so I've had an average kid, I've had a gifted and talented kid, and I've had a high-functioning special needs child. Jake went to school in Gorman, my first superintendent job. He went to school in Claude, my second job. We moved to Vernon. The first year we were in Vernon, he grew in one semester, 2 years of knowledge in math, and 1 year in ELAR and reading. He's ranked in the top 40 or 50 students in a class of about 120, and he's intellectually disabled. Now, I'm not taking for granted that he has accommodations and modifications, but he's being challenged and pushed. Right. So my point being is in public school, your average students, your gifted and talented students, and your special needs students, all of their needs can be met. If I had one professional regret, I've got three children, and I moved around so much that all three of them graduated from three amazing school districts, but I took away from my kids ever being that hometown that they could come home to Christmas to. But I believe God had a plan, and Dalhart's where we want to be. Dalhart's where I want to retire from. It's the most caring, giving, supportive community. I've never been as welcomed or appreciated anywhere that I've ever worked as I am here. And I believe wholeheartedly this was part of God's plan and where I'm supposed to be.
And they're blessed to have you for sure. Well, I promised to get you out on time. So tell people where they can find Dalhart and learn more about your program and your school.
Well, dalhartisd.org is our website address. My email address is jeff.byrd@dalhartisd.org. You're welcome to call the school. My office is 806-244-7810. Anything that we have, hey, I had mentors and people that helped me, and I can, don't call with any problems. I can't answer how to do it correctly, but I can tell you what I did that didn't work.
Right.
But I had lots of mentors in my life that allowed me to be in a position to where we're somewhat successful. And number one, I got a great support staff, unbelievable administration. You won't find any better teachers that care more for kids than we've got here. It's not me, it's us.
Yeah, absolutely.
1,000%. Anything that we have that we can help another district with, we would be honored to do so. Your best bet is to email me. It may take me a day or two, but I will respond. If I don't have an answer, if I can't find one, I'll be honest with you. If I can, I'll point you in the right direction. But I'm passionate about all of rural education in Texas, in our surrounding areas, and we'll help anybody that we can.
Awesome. Well, Jeff, it has been a pleasure to speak with you. What a great conversation. I love what you guys are doing. Thank you for taking the time to be on Brighter Together. I appreciate that.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.